Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. We're going to be looking at a very, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And today's title is a message that why the Lord laid it on my heart, Brother Mike, is beyond me with the title of the message. But I go with what the Lord leads. Amen. And He gave me the message is how to overcome Christmas depression. Now, you say depression at Christmas time is a fictitious thing. But I just want you to know that it is not. It's real. And so today we're going to just take a look at it. I can't do the message any justice. I just go with the power that the Lord Jesus had given me. Amen. But if you'll look in Psalms chapter number 51 and look at verse number 12, it says here, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." This is written at a time when David was suffering great depression. This was written after David had sinned with Bathsheba. We all know the sin there. He looked at her while she was taking a shower. She was beautiful to look at. And he couldn't help himself and called for her. Even though that this lady was married, he called to have her for himself. Not only did he sin with that doing that affair, but also he put her husband on the front line in the hottest of battle when he came home and wouldn't go be with her because his heart and his mind was with the troops that he had left behind. And so when David put him on the front line, he was killed. Basically, the Lord looked at it as murder. So see, the thing of it is, these two sins that David committed here, but we still see in David's life, we still see how David was used greatly by the Lord Jesus Himself. The Bible refers to David as a man after God's own heart. But I'll tell you this, David was not a perfect man, but he served a perfect God. Amen? Amen? Depression is something that all of us have and will have happen again and again, over and over in our lives to one point or another. It's how we react that separates us as Christians than the rest of the world. Here are some interesting facts I want to give to y'all. Number one, these are according to the Center of Disease Control. These are their on their list. Number one, and it's at the top of the list, Brother Donnie, and we've seen it not only in your family, you've seen it, but we've seen it in every single family that's in this room when I say this, grieving over family members that have passed away. That was at the top of the list. The second one, all of us at some point in time in our life have come to know loneliness. The next one, I didn't even have a clue would even be listed, but the next one is not being able to say no around the holidays. Not being able to say no just gets people depressed because they're trying to go here, they're trying to go there, trying to go over yonder, running all over everywhere. Sometimes you just got to say no. The next one, I never would have had a clue. Not being able, it says the thought of having and building extra debt. Let that sink in for a second, like gravy on a dry biscuit. See, church, it's not only the loneliness, it's all these other things that are in it. Look at the next one. Not being able to set aside differences amongst family and friends. If it happened 20 years ago, let it go. Amen. It makes no difference what happened 20 years ago. The price of rice that's coming out of China is going to be the price that it is. Amen. We just need to let things go and quit letting it fester up and ruin our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that one would hit home. Got a problem with it. I'll be available right after service. Next one, suicide remains a major health problem, not only around the holidays, but listen to what I got. I couldn't have worded it no more better. Listen to this. Suicide remains a major health problem, one that occurs throughout the entire year. It is the 10th leading cause of death for all Americans. Each year, more than 36,000 people take their own lives. In addition, more than 374,000 people are treated in emergency departments for self-inflicted injury. This is, church, real in our society today. And the last one is sickness or health issues. Now, I want us to think about this for a second. All these things is what's getting people depressed. And rightly so. Because it wears on us. Have y'all ever run your hand? You remember them old hand graders? Y'all come on now. And you know, the one we got at the house is old like I am. But it's got one side's got like little knife blades. One side of it's got them little tiny holes. Then another side, I ain't figured out to the day what it's for. And that other side, I think I know what it's for. But that one, it's got all them pricklies on there. Have you ever tried running your fingers across the top of it? It hurts, don't it? Well, see, this is what, see, when people should be celebrating, saying, you know, I refer to a lot of times, you know, my favorite Christmas song, I love hearing Andy Williams sing "The Most Wonderful Time of the Year." The man recorded it years and years and years ago. And to me, nobody yet can outdo it. It's just, you know, he done good on that. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. When kids' faces light up, when parents, you come home and see, and the parents smile, and you get to see grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, nieces, cousins, nephews, and all of them that you can't name. All these things, see, is what we're supposed to be excited about, but you see, people are getting depressed from it. I want to give you some things on how we can fight this and how we can overcome depression. Now, like I said, now let's keep in the back of our minds what I want to do. I want to take you on a trip here. So what I want you to do, I want you to keep in the back of your mind Psalms 51:12. Keep in mind that one of the men of the Bible that was greatly used by God, who did great and mighty things, suffered depression. Okay? Now, I want y'all to realize that he turned to who? To help him get through that depression. The Bible tells us there, he says these words, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That's David saying these words. He's saying, "Restore unto me." He didn't say, "I lost my salvation." He said, "Restore the luster and the joy thereof." I want you to keep them two thoughts in mind when I take you on this trip that we're getting ready to go on. So to start our journey on fighting, how do we fight Christmas depression? Number one, you need to reach out to your pastor. You're saying, "Well, pastor, you work a full-time job. You do all this stuff." Let me tell you something. Reach out to your preacher. Amen. If you will reach out, I promise you, you'll get the help that you need. Look, when your pastor hurts, because of the congregation is hurting, he has got God working on his side. Amen? Let me tell you something, church. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're in this thing together. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:14, it should be highlighted, it should be underlined. You're saying, "Preacher, I ain't got a Bible." Well, I got some in my office in there. I'd love to give you, amen. In Romans 10:14, it says, How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We all need a preacher. Amen. Look, let me tell you something. I am never too busy. If you call me and I don't answer my phone, Don't worry, I will call you back. Y'all can nod your head. Amen. That's the truth. I'll call you back. That's what the church pays for the phone, and it's got voicemail on it. It's one of those things that, you know, it's the new technology. You leave the message after the beep, and I promise you, I'll call you back. Amen. But see, that's what it is communicating. I need y'all. And believe it or not, you need me. And so we're in this thing together, and see, and we all need who? We all need Jesus. Amen. That's what it's about, church. Reach out. Reach out when you're in that time of, look, let me tell you something. I help people all the time at work. Amen. And the reason for it, God puts them I ask God every morning in my prayer, I said, put somebody in front of me that I can help. Every day He puts somebody in front of me. It's because I ask Him to open up the door. Amen. Second, The way you overcome depression is to be faithful in church. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, another one that we should have highlighted, another one we should have underlined, and we should have it memorized, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And it says here, I like that. And it says, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is this? We're exhorting Jesus and we're lifting up one another. And as we lift up one another and we're lifting up Jesus, we can see His precious return in the distant future. Let me tell you, you can look out the door right now, and I'm looking out the door through the glass, and I can see the return of our Lord and Savior coming, church. He's coming back. And I'm going to tell you, He's coming back as a conquering King. Amen. Everybody says, oh, he's not coming back. He's defeated. Well, you ain't read the back of the book. Bless God, I have. The back of the book says that the Christians win. Amen. We win. So we need each other. I can't think of no better place that I'd rather be than in the house of God with God's people, having ourselves fellowshipping, laughing and having a good time, just glorifying the name of Jesus. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, our Lord Jesus was a very serious individual. Well, you ain't read the Bible very well. The Lord Jesus said that even donkeys speak. That's humor. Y'all can laugh if you want to. Look it up. Every time I read that passage of Scripture, I would just pace myself standing there and there's a donkey and all of a sudden he started to speak. If y'all don't believe that he uses a donkey to speak, just look up at behind the pulpit. Amen. He took somebody that's not an eloquent reader. He took somebody that has just as redneck, as Brunswick County redneck has ever come out of it in North Carolina, and got him preaching the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if he can use me, I know he can use anybody. Y'all can say amen to that. Another thing that we got to do to overcome this, and this is something that I want to encourage. Be active in your church. Be active in your church. What do you mean? Well, a lot of people don't realize, and I'm going to say this as an endorsement to our church. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sundays, preaching at 11, 2 o'clock service, and then we have 7 o'clock service on Wednesday night. Amen. And then we have, like yesterday, we had the ladies had their outing and stuff like this right here. I'm trying to get men together. I need about 4 to 6 men to go out Saturday to deliver fruit bags to the shut-ins. So there's stuff that we can do. And that was an endorsement there. I need 5 more men, amen, for Saturday to go out and deliver fruit bags. So if you're available, see me. Don't go to nobody else. Just come see me so that way I can get it logged down. We got a bunch of fruit bags we got to deliver to our shut-ins. Amen. So see, we need to, there's stuff that we can be done. Dakota back there. He's back there. He's working diligently on how to play the bass. Amen. doing something in the house of God. I told Brother Don's the other day, when he joined the church, I said, what the thing I told you? I said, find you a ministry and get involved. Amen. That's what I say. He said he wanted to sing in the choir. And I said, auditions is difficult. Just show up. I don't know how. Look here. That's pretty hard. Walking up here, them steps right there, kind of tricky. But see, the thing of it is, though, being active in your church. Be active. Find something to do for God's glory. Amen. I promise you, if you'll do it for God and not man, He will bless you beyond measures. Amen. You're saying, well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Come see me. I'm the pastor of the church. I'll tell you something. I know some stuff that can be done. Amen. I want to say this. The ones that are involved from at the house, sending cards. See, that's a blessing right there. Amen. I don't care if you're 170 or if you're 7. It's still fun to get mail. I walk out to the mailbox. I go out there, come back in. Yay! Cheryl says, what is it? Bill! That's all we ever get in the mail. So I started getting excited about it. Woo! The electric bill. You go! Duke Energy. And then I got that positive thought. My electric bill pays Tracy. 100%. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's all those little things. How to take a negative and turn it into a positive. See, it's all what we do. Now, what does the Bible say about being active in your church? This blew my socks off when I read this, and I am working diligently to memorize this verse of Scripture. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 10. I hadn't quite got it memorized yet, but it is a powerful verse of Scripture. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let me tell you something. If we're to do good, we're to do it good to everybody, but we're especially supposed to take care of the ones of the house of God. Amen. I could sit there. I was in the office. I was sitting there with this. Matter of fact, I'll tell you where I was at. I was right in yonder at the computer there on the Saturday. And when the Lord gave me that right there, I looked in the Bible and I was reading in Galatians. I said, whoo, glory. I said right here, this is what I'm talking about. It don't mention nothing about knocking each other out and fussing and fighting and carrying on. It talks about lifting each other up and helping one another. And we're especially supposed to do it for the ones of the house of God. Well, I sat there to myself, Lord Jesus, thank you for the showers. And I looked outside and it was raining. And I said, man, this right here was just overwhelmed by this verse of Scripture. And I said, and people say all the time, I can't read the King James Bible because of the fact it's too hard to read with those thousand D's in there. And I go up there and I say, well, it's wrote on a fourth grade reading level. If you can't read on a fourth grade reading level, I'm sorry. It's going to get, look, all the other perversions get harder from there. They go right on up. There's one of them that's on an 11th grade reading level. You have to be a doctorate to read that. Be active. Help the church. It'll keep your mind on things above instead of things of the world. Let me tell you, the world ain't got nothing to offer us. Amen. The only thing the world's got to offer us is Danville Donuts. They're pretty good. But anyway, the next one. I'm glad that we have this next one. We go on outings here at the church. We went over last week, over to, you know, got the adults together to go to the steakhouse. That was fun. The ladies got together this past week, or yesterday. That was fun. I weren't there. I got left out of that, which was not fair. But anyway, that's a story for another time. But the thing of it is, getting together and doing things. You know, the fellowship, you know, fellowshipping together may not seem like it's very important. But let me tell you this, fellowshipping is very important. Amen? And the reason it is very important to this preacher is because of the fact that this is what I see. I see people coming together and laughing. I see people coming together and talking. And it gets you out of some of those lists that I read. Loneliness. It gets you out of those things. Amen. We need one another, church. Amen. And see, and that's why I'm saying on this, going on these outings with people of like faith, it's a blessing. Amen. And Hebrews 10:25 again, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, the Bible's written two ways. It's written for you and to you. See, look how this one's written on this right here. It's written here, not forsaking you, telling us not to forsake it. It's written to us and telling us not to forsake it. We're to be together. Amen? Now you're saying, well, preacher, I can't make everything at the church when we have it. I will agree with that somewhat. But when we start getting ball games and race tracks and all this other stuff in front of going to church, something's wrong. Amen? Something's wrong. Let me tell you something. Dale Jr. is not going to drive a race car no more, so you're sitting at home watching the racing on when it comes on. He's not going to do it. He's a family man now. So see, you're saying, well, there might be that opportunity. He might drive the race car, and I need to see that. Oh, go Dale Jr. He's in a booth. Oh, yeah. Cheryl and I know somebody that goes to Darlington every year, and they would leave. They would skip church. The thing about it is, they would tell the preacher that of the church we were in that they were going to do it. And I finally asked him one day at the store, I said, we'll call his name Jeremiah to protect the innocent. I asked him, I said, Jeremiah, why in the world do you constantly, when you go to the race, why do you tell him that you're going? I said, you know what he's going to say, you know, that skipping church is not, that ain't good. I just don't think. At least he's honest. So I told him, I said, well, if you up for them hits on the jaw, I said, go head on with it. That's all I can tell you. Be faithful. Be faithful. The next thing, how you can overcome depression and fight that Christmas depression is study your Bible. Study your Bible. Now, I'm not talking about, well, today I read four verses and it was really just moved my heart. No, I'm talking about read and meditate in your Bible. Just don't open it and say, well, today I'm reading the book of Lamb. I can't even pronounce that, so we'll move on to this. I'll read Luke. Yeah, that's it. I can pronounce that. Well, see, the thing of it is, pray before you open up your Bible. Ask God to help you study the Word of God. Ask God to help you read and understand the precious Word of God. If you ask Him, it's His book. If you'll ask Him, He will guide you and He'll speak to you through the Word of God. He's not going to speak to you audibly when you're out there on the road. Oh, no, 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 no. Brother Sammy, thou shalt not drive Highway 52. Thou takest 158. It's better. He don't speak to us audibly like that. He don't do it. He speaks to us through the precious Word of God. And if we pray and ask God for that help, He will help you into the verses of Scripture you need to go. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. All we have to do is start studying the Word, and then we're found approved unto God, and we know how to divide the Word of God for our sake and what it applies to our life. Amen? The next one is difficult because a lot of us don't often do this. But if you're depressed, pray. If you're happy, pray. Sometimes if you're happy, you might want to send a notification to your face. That's what, yeah. I like that song. If you're happy, notify your face. Yeah, because sometimes, man, what is he mad about? Oh, I'm not. I just got an extra toy in my happy meal. I can't tell it. Amen? The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Our problem is in the society that we're in, we pray and we stop. We don't keep praying. Keep praying until God moves. Amen? Pray. Ask God. Nothing is too big for our God. And I promise you this, nothing's too little. Amen? Nothing. Look, He wants to hear from us. You know, that's like, when we study the Bible, the study in the Bible and praying should go hand in hand. Amen? So we need to study and we need to pray. And last, we need to make ourselves available. This last one is making yourself available. How do you make yourself available? By being usable to God. Being usable to God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, listen to what Isaiah says about being available for service. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And for who will go with us? Listen to what Isaiah's reply. Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. This verse of Scripture right here, church, hit me between the eyes many times down through the years. And I never could get a grasp on when I was in evangelism, wanting to pastor, and I was driving to the other end of the state of North Carolina, 6, sometimes 8 hours to preach, and turn right around and drive it Sunday night back home so I could go to work on Monday. Let me just say this. It hit me between the eyes, and one day I realized that Isaiah asked to be sent. He wanted to be sent. He wanted to be used. He wanted to be available for the things of God. So he finally just realized it. He took the V8 moment, and he says, here I am, send me. Church, if you want to be used of God, you've got to be available. You can't tell Him when He says, I need you to go check on so-and-so. You can't say, well, I've got 4 ball games, and I've got a lasagna that's got to be baked, and all this stuff here going on at home. I can't do this now. You've got to be available. And you can't make excuses saying, you can't have an excuse. Make an excuse to come to church. Make an excuse to be at church. But see, the thing of it is to make yourself available to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, if you'll start making yourself available for Him and making yourself available to Him, you will see great and mighty things start showing up in your life. What do you say? What type of things can show up? Well, when we started making ourselves available to God, and things started rolling, I saw a house that was advertised 4 days, sold, and it never went to a realtor. Amen? When we made ourselves available and committed to God, He gave us a house that they said that we would never, and I'll use the N-word, never get. And we're in it. Matter of fact, slept pretty good there last night. All these things, see, is the fact that we made ourselves available. And when that lady said not to make no more offers on that house, don't waste her time, nothing, I told her, my reply to the realtor was this. I said, tell the lady in charge that she doesn't treat the man of God that way. And that's all I did. I didn't say nothing else. And I asked the church to pray. Next thing I know, they called and said, we'll take that offer. They were cowed down. They were like, yeah, we'll take that offer. See? And I knew in my mind that God was going to make a way even though there weren't one. But see, the thing of it is, though, it's believing that God can help you in any situation that you're in. He'll bring you out. Brother Donnie, He'll bring you out. Sister Faye, He brought you out. Amen. Sister Billy Joe, He brought them out. All these different ones were brought out because of the fact they had a faith and a knowledge and believing of Jesus Christ. So in closing, if you will do these things and have a solid walk in Christ and have that solid walk with Christ, you'll be able to gain the victory. But if you don't have that solid walk with Christ, then you'll stay at the end that state of depression. So I'm asking you this morning. Don't you want to come out? Now I'm saying this as honestly as I can as the pianist comes. Let me say this. You'll never gain the victory until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's why there's some that are so depressed today. That's why some are so depressed today. It's because they never made that personal commitment and never truly gotten saved by the grace of God. They never got saved. They got this. I thought so. I think I'll wait till tomorrow. Maybe next week. You need to make that commitment. Do you know that you know that your name is written down? Do you know that your name is on that book of life? Thinking that it is going to make you go to hell. Knowing, my friend, knowing is where the difference is. How to have the victory is by knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Him, loving Him, and letting Him love you. And I promise you, if you'll yield yourself to Him, it'll be the greatest gift that's ever been given to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around but me this morning.